Good morning. How's everyone doing? Are you really? You're really good. Like, it's not just one of those, hey, how are you? Good, how are you? You know, we do that all the time, right? Just give an answer real quick because nobody wants to sit there and listen to anybody complain, right? But we love to do it. We love to complain sometimes. We shouldn't do that. You know, the Bible never gives us permission to complain. There's not one scripture that says that it's okay to complain. You know that? There's nothing. It actually says do all things without complaining. Yeah, joy. And this morning, man, I just, in the atmosphere this morning, I just really feel the joy of the Lord. And there's an energy. And, you know, whenever we feel things, it gets very tempting to live by our feelings. And how many of you know that feelings, they're good servants, but they're not good masters? Because how many of you, just raise your hand, if you feel good all the time? There's not one person that raised their hand. We don't always feel good. You don't always feel the... When you come into church, you don't always feel the goodness of, you know, whatever. Sometimes you come on to church on Sundays and you don't really want to be here. Maybe that's some of you this morning. I know some of you came because you thought Pastor Rochelle was preaching. Come on up here. I was not singling anyone out because it's not just one person, okay? But here's the deal. When we come together on Sunday mornings, which is just traditionally when the American church comes together, I don't think that it's that way all across the world. Maybe it is. I know there's some people that gather on Saturdays or whatever. But the thing is don't let this just be a tradition that you come here and you're like, yep, I got to go to church. I got to get that status in so that people see me going to church, so they think I'm a good person. But what are you going to church for? We go to church so that we can gather together and we can stir one another up in what? Does anybody know the answer? Love. And yes, I love to talk about love. I mean, Matt Hayes just talked, he stole one of my scriptures, but then I looked and I was like, well, I actually didn't put that one on the screen this week, but I always reference it because love is, that's the point of it all. For God so loved the world, right? Not for God was so fed up with the world, which a lot of times that's what gets us to move to action, is being fed up, right? But don't let it be for that. Let it be for love. And if you allow love to take over your heart, everything, I talk about this every time I get up here too, whatever's in your heart is going to come out. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Because everything flows out of it. So if you're not protecting your heart, then you're not going to have good things in your life. You can try to do good things. You can try to be a good person. But it's what's in your heart. Because the trying and the doing, it only lasts for so long. It's the being. It's who you are, the being in your heart. Let the doing flow from that. Because, I mean, we can all do good for one day, right? Maybe some of us would struggle for a day. But the thing is, it's like we can't do any of it without the Spirit of the Lord. You know, in Mark, I think it's actually just in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is the parable of the sower, which I actually plan to do a sermon series on the parable of the sower. I think it'll be on that. But Jesus calls the parable of the sower the parable of all parables. If you don't understand that one, how will you understand any of them? And the thing is if you dig into, which we don't have time to do all of that because I have a goal to be done by 11:40, And also, I'm counting on Gary to time how long it takes me to throw my husband under the bus this morning. I have no plans for it, actually. And I usually don't have plans for it. It just flows out of my heart. Because I love him. You guys, I really do love my husband, and I hope you all know that he is the greatest husband I could have ever asked for or prayed for, and I did. I did ask, and I prayed. So where were we? Yes, throwing him under the bus. Let's see, what can I do? No, the deal is that we don't just... We're not doing something to earn our way to go to heaven. Jesus already did that. Jesus made the way for us to go to heaven. So there's not any amount of good works that you could do while you're here on the earth that would ever deserve you going to heaven. Nobody deserves it. Okay? It comes from Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law. And how did he fulfill the law? Love. Because he is love. That's why Matt Hayes, Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through, I'm just going to read it. I didn't give it to Kathy, but teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? The great commandment in the law. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart. Okay? With all your soul and with all your mind. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. So everything that was ever written in the law depends on those two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. Some versions, and maybe in a different gospel, it says strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Anybody had ever had somebody do something good for them, but it just didn't feel very genuine? Like they've given you something maybe, but it didn't really feel genuine. It's probably because that wasn't in their heart. They were just doing it because they knew it was the right thing to do. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do good even if you don't feel like it. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we've got to get a hold of our heart, allow Jesus to get a hold of our heart. That's where the parable of the sower, where it's, you know, the seed that is sowed is the word, okay? Some of it fell on rocky ground, thorns. Some of it fell to the wayside, the side of the road. And then some of it fell on good soil. Okay, when the word falls on good soil, it springs up and it grows and it bears fruit. Okay, now follow me on this. The soil is your heart. The soil is your heart. And if you don't feel like you've got good soil, ask the Lord to change your heart. Because he will. He will. Okay, going back to what we were talking about, why we get together on Sunday mornings, why we get together at all. We stir each other in love and good works, okay? Church is not the point. Church is the time out. Church is the halftime, okay? I love sports, so I'll talk sports analogies all day long. But it's not the point. This is not the game, okay? It's how are you living your life? How are you walking in love? Are you walking in love? Because if you're not, then you're missing the point. You're missing the point. And we are supposed to, when you come to know Christ, what are you supposed to do? You deny yourself. Okay, so you die with him and you're buried with him. What does that mean? That means your flesh no longer has rule and reign in your life. It's the Spirit of God that is now in you that guides everything that you do. So we deny ourselves. So that means, you know, everybody knows the Lord's Prayer, right? Everybody, okay, maybe we don't. But Matthew 5, or no, 6, no, 5, wherever it is, 6. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That's not the end of it, but that's where I'm going to stop for a second. How many of you know that there's no sickness in heaven? There's no cancer in heaven. There's no pain in heaven. So when we pray, it's not about reciting this prayer. It's the heart of the prayer. It's the heart of the prayer. So we pray on earth as it is in heaven. But a lot of times we're doing that for our circumstances, or someone we love has been given a diagnosis of something that we don't like, right? Or they don't like. But let me ask you this. Is there anger in heaven? Is there frustration in heaven? Is there selfishness in heaven? So why don't, when we pray, we pray that those things have no place in our hearts? Is there unforgiveness in heaven? Bitterness? Resentment? Ill will? Thinking you hope something bad happens to someone because of something they've done? Is there any of that in heaven? I mean, I've never been, but I don't think so. So when we pray, may we let the Spirit of God search our hearts to get rid of anything that would be in there that would not be in heaven, that is not in heaven. So walk in forgiveness. But here's the deal. You can't walk in forgiveness until you receive the forgiveness that comes from God. And receiving forgiveness that comes from God is recognizing that you've done something to be forgiven for. And I think everyone in here knows that you've messed up in some way, shape, or form. But let me tell you, selfishness is at the root of every single thing that you've ever done where you've messed up. Because self gets in the way. The flesh gets in the way. There's not one sin that is not tied to selfishness. That's why the opposite of love is selfishness, because there's no self in love. Was it selfish when Jesus came? He left heaven to come to earth. Was that selfish? No. That was selfless. And we've got to get to a place back in the church, especially in America, where we learn how to deny ourselves and start walking in love. Yeah, but you don't know what happened to me. Was it worse than being betrayed and hanging on a cross? Jesus knows. I'm not being hard-hearted. I'm just, I want us to see things from his perspective. We've all been through hard things. every single one of us. We've all had trials and they've all been different. Some of them may have looked the same for a little bit, but they've all been different because they're all personal to us. But Jesus is bigger than all of those things. And we're not on the earth so that everything will go well in our lives. We're on the earth to manifest him. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So if God is going to be seen and known to the world, how is it going to happen? Through us. Through us. Through our lives lived. It's not yelling at somebody and telling them they're doing wrong or they're going to hell if they don't turn and repent and pray the sinner's prayer. Did you know the sinner's prayer is actually only like, I think it's under 100 years old or something like that? Do you know that? But we treat it like it's the finish line. The sinner's prayer, and I think it's great. Like, there's been different variations of it over the years. But the point is that you put your trust and your hope in Christ. That's what you do. The sinner's prayer is you invite Jesus to take over your life. And then it's not just, okay, I prayed the prayer. Now I'm going to heaven. I can do whatever I want for the rest of my life. But that's how we treat it. Oh, it's okay. I'm covered by the grace of God. So it doesn't matter. God's grace has got me. Grace that doesn't lead to transformation in your life is not true grace. I'm not preaching condemnation. I'm just saying, let's wake up. I've heard so many stories of people in other countries that have had terrible things happen to them. They've witnessed terrible things happen to their family. If you know Corrie Ten Boom, Holocaust survivor, anybody know her? Okay. Do you know the story? Because she was in a, what do they call it? Concentration camp. She was in a concentration camp. Her sister, I believe, was with her and she died. Corrie Ten Boom survived. And years later, she was talking about it, and the very person, the Nazi soldier or whoever was at her camp, she remembered him, was there and came up to her at the end of her speaking. Okay, now, if anybody loses somebody because somebody else has done something. Let's just say that what's your first reaction going to be? If you're my husband, you're going to punch him in the face. I didn't throw him under the bus. I did reference him, but I didn't throw him. Thank you. But what did she do? She forgave him. She forgave him. And I just see, it breaks my heart because I see so many people walking around blind. And what are they blinded by? Unforgiveness. Bitterness. Unforgiveness is a prison. It's a prison. And if you let it take root in your heart, it'll overtake your entire body. It'll overtake everything, and you can't see clear. The lens that you're looking through is not the lens of Christ. It's the lens of unforgiveness. So everything that happens to you and everything that anybody says to you, you're looking at it through what's been done wrong to you. It's a lie. It's a lie. And here's the thing, Jesus defeated the devil, right? He defeated him. We all know that. He defeated him. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, right? And he saved us. And so our eternity is set. But you know what? The devil still prowls around. And he wants to get here. And if he can get here in your believer, if he can make you believe something, it's going to settle in your heart, and then all of a sudden, your heart has gone dark, and now your whole life, you're just walking in darkness. But you're still going to church on Sunday, so you're all right. I mean, come on. Can we live the life? Can we not just come here on Sundays and make each other feel good, but let's actually stir one another up in love and good works so that when we go out to our workplaces, that when somebody says something unkind to us, that we don't have to respond unkindly to them? So that no matter what happens, that we can walk in love. Somebody gives you a bad look, somebody cuts you off, and you're not just going to be set out to get them back. This is the love is the fulfillment. It's the fulfillment. Let's read Matthew chapter 5. Let's read Matthew chapter 5. It's a good one. I'm going to read verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Then Jesus says, do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Okay, now I'm going to challenge you. Remember that verse, we're going to come back to it, okay? But right now, we're going to jump over to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 1. Because Jesus had just said in Matthew 5, verse 16, that let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. So he's saying, let men see your good works, right? So that they glorify your Father in heaven. Chapter 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Here's the deal. Jesus is just saying, let your light shine before men. Do your good works so that other men see, right? And now he's saying, beware of practicing your good works, but the good works or your righteousness before men. But the thing is, when you're doing it to be noticed by them. So we need to let our light shine and we need to do good, but not for the point of somebody saying thank you or saying good job. If I ever get up here, if anyone ever gets up here and it's for the point of somebody telling them good job, there's something going on in the heart that shouldn't be there. Okay, the point of coming to church, and we've kind of made church more of like this celebrity thing, right? Where it's like the point of being at church is to be on stage and doing something, okay? It's not. I'm not more important than anybody else in this room. Last time I checked, Jesus paid the price for every person, and the price was his blood. So that means the same value is on every head that's in this room, every heart that's in this room. But man, in our society, do we live like that? No, we don't. There's people that are more famous and important than other people just because of what they can do or money, whatever. Okay, but let's not let that creep into the church. And that doesn't just happen with the people that get up on stage. The people that are in the congregation do not put on a pedestal the people that are up on the stage. Don't do it. See, we're all called to live this life. So that means when I go out of here and I start my week, you know, when I leave here, I'm just the same as all of you. Sure, I got up here and I preached, even though it was supposed to be Rochelle. But we're all called to live the life. We're all called to live it. And it all starts right here. So in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. I'm going to continue reading. It's not going to be on the screen, but I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Okay, so if you do something good and your goal is to be honored by men, then you've got your reward. That's it. Hope you liked the 5 seconds of fame that you got. Don't do good just to be noticed by someone. Don't pick up a piece of trash in the parking lot on your way to the grocery store and post it on Instagram and show everybody how good you are. But our society's kind of turned into that. We got to post every good thing that we do. Oh, look, I gave a homeless person $20. And you post it on Instagram. I hope you like the likes. Because that's your reward. Let it be from your heart. And he goes on, I'm running out of time. How did that happen? But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Okay, so that means if I'm going to give to the poor with my left hand, I got to put my right hand behind my back. Okay. The point is, don't do it so that somebody else can see you doing it. And don't take it before the Lord. Lord, I'm going to ask you for this, and I really deserve this because I did this, this, and this today. No, do it because Jesus has already done that and more for you. He goes on. So that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I'd much rather have a reward from the Lord than 800 likes on Instagram. Or a trophy given to me because I gave so much to a certain organization. Then he talks about when you pray. Don't be like the hypocrites. Do you know what a hypocrite is? Hypocrite, it actually comes, like I looked up the root word of it in Greek, and it's actually a play actor. Like a play actor, so someone who's acting. Okay? So don't be like the hypocrites. He says, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. So cool, you pray in the street corner, but do you pray when you're just by yourself? Nobody else can hear you but God? Let me tell you, it's not about the prayer you pray. It's about the faith and belief that you have in Christ and what's coming from your heart. It's not the words that you say. See, a lot of times when somebody's like, which we're not going to stay on this topic, but if somebody wants healing, right? They go to a certain person so that they can get a certain prayer prayed over them. Why don't you just change your belief system and know that God does heal and put your faith and your trust in him? And if you want somebody to stand in agreement with you, yes, ask them to pray, but don't judge what's going to happen to you, the healing that you're going to get based on their prayer. It's in the faith in him, in the work that he's already done on the cross. And if you don't see something change when you pray, it doesn't mean that God didn't hear you. Now you just got to keep believing and trust that God's ways are higher than your ways and his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And resist the confirmation to society and be conformed to his will, his way. Who he is. Don't just look at what everybody else is doing and follow suit. That's the worst thing we can do. Even pastors, don't just look at pastors and say, oh, yep, I got to be doing what they're doing. Why don't you read the Bible? You can do that yourself, you know. Everybody has this, or maybe you don't have this, but you have this, where you can get every version in the world on your phone. You can sit there and you can compare versions, and if you don't understand something, it's not about how many chapters you read in a day, okay? It's not about that. It's about the time that you spend, and is your mind changing based on the time that you're spending with God? And I know the Bible is a little bit hard to understand at times, but that's why we have the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us into all truth. So he can illuminate things in the Bible and highlight something, and then bam, that's what you're meditating on. You meditate on his law day and night. It says that in Psalm chapter 1. I love Psalm chapter 1. Meditate in his law day and night. Jesus came. Here we go. I'm going to finish up. I got 3 minutes. Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. So the law, it's not about the letter of the law. It's the heart of the law. And the heart of the law is love. And Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And that's through love. So now we're going to go to chapter 13. 8, 12, and 13 are my favorite in Romans. But Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. All of those, if you look at all of those, that's all rooted in selfishness. Adultery, murder, stealing, covet, that's all selfishness. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus is love. He came because of love. And when we're overtaken by love and we let love truly mold our hearts, because he's the potter, we're the clay. Let him mold you and make you into who he created you to be, so that you can go and you can live your life and your light shines before men and they see your good works that flow from a genuine heart. And they glorify your Father who is in heaven. Because that's the point. Is that our light would not be hidden. You don't light a lamp and hide it, right? But many times what we do is we light this lamp, we put our trust in God. And then we hide it under offense, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, all of those things. Don't let those things hide your light. Get rid of them. I can't do it for you. Pastor Rochelle can't do it for you. Pastor Corey can't do it for you. Pastor Tiff, Pastor Colin, there's nobody in this room that can do it for you. The only person that can do it is you. And you can take it before the Lord and you can say, God, I repent. Just like Ralph was praying up here. What does repent mean? It means that you turn and you go the other way. So you leave that offense, you leave that bitterness, you leave that unforgiveness, and you go the other way. You'd be amazed what happens in your body when you get your mind and your heart right. A lot of times we're just looking for healing in our body, but what happens if we would get our mind healed and our heart healed? Maybe that happens first. I'm not saying that God doesn't heal. He absolutely does. He heals physical when you pray, and you should pray for it, but pray from a good heart for it. Not just so that your world is more convenient and easy, but that so you can go out and you can shine a light to other people. I think 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is where I'm going to end, because it's the love chapter, so why not? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I hate unnecessary noise. I hate it. Loud cars, mm-mm. Motorcycles, nope. That's a clanging cymbal to me. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge. So if I know everything, if you can give me a scripture and I can explain it to you. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. God's not interested in what you can do. He's interested in who you can become. And who he paid the price for you to become. And it's from that place that you can give all that you have. Because it's not just about the 10%. Everything belongs to God. Everything. And you've got to let it flow from your heart. So would you bow your heads this morning? Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much for loving us so much that you would send your son to pay the price, to restore relationship back to you, to fulfill the law with love. Let it be that love that comes into every single one of our hearts this morning. And Father, I pray over every mind in this room as we go throughout our week, that when things come to our mind that are not from you, that we would cast them down as you have told us to do, that we cast down every vain imagination, anything that exalts itself against you, we cast it down. I pray that you would help every single one of us do that this week, that we would not be deceived, that we would not buy the lies of the enemy, but that we would open our hearts to everything that you have for us, so that we would shine for you. In a dark world, we would shine for you, because we know that where there is light, there is no darkness. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.